Hello, this is Gary Nadler. May 31 came and went, and I can't give you any exciting or promising other than two gentlemen came. Another lady wanted to come, couldn't come. One from Colorado, Jim McManus, and Tommy Tillman from Alabama. I enjoyed having both of them and their families in the home on the 31st. And there was one thing that we did that I would say potentially could have been significant, but we have to wait and see. But the one thing that I asked of these gentlemen was that Tommy Tillman pray and ask that the work that has been going on in Africa for a year and a half, and is indeed quite significant, that work would begin in America. Tommy has been addressed in a previous podcast, and he's a black man who is obviously from Africa. He wasn't born in Africa, but his genealogy would go back to Africa. And the one thing that I asked in our time together is that Tommy would pray and ask for the transfer of that which has been taking place in Africa for a year and a half, that it would come to America or come outside of Africa itself. And he did so. He prayed for that blessing. And then shortly thereafter, he prayed that something significant would happen this year. This is the 23rd year in my own life, and I will mention it again just for your benefit. I was born in 1948. 23 years later, obviously at the age of 23, that is when Yahweh called me to himself and I began my walk with him. I'm going to tell you more about that here shortly. And then the next 23-year mark in my life was in 1994. Now, 1994 is when the revelation of the bride came and the Spirit came upon me for a week and a half. And it was obviously a most incredible, life-changing experience. And then now, today, in 2017, I am at the point of the third 23-year period in my life, and I definitely need another life-changing experience. And Tommy noted that and prayed that Yahweh God would do something dramatic. And of course, we're looking for the latter rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, both of these two things I want to elaborate on, that being the two 23-year periods, and also when can the outpouring of the Holy Spirit actually take place. Let me begin by addressing these two experiences. And it's something that I've seen just recently, and I want to share it with you. They were both life-changing. One, I left my life of walking by my own strength for 23 years and became a believer, and my life was radically changed. But it's what occurred in the days leading up to it that I want to address. We had been involved in Amway. Some of you might be able to relate to that. But when I do something, I give it all my might, all my heart. And I'd actually dropped out of college to go into Amway. And we were making progress towards becoming direct distributors. We were up to $4,000 PV, they call it, purchase volume. You became a direct at 7, and we were real excited in the progress that we were seeing. But the supposed impossible became a reality. And all of a sudden, our Amway business went from the 4,000 to nothing. Essentially, everybody dropped out. And it was devastating for me. my wife of just over a year had taken the job, and that was a source of income for us, and I was doing painting on the side. Painting and carpentry have always been my backup plan. But there were no painting jobs for me to do. So the only income we had was from my wife, and it was not sufficient to meet our needs. And I was extremely low at that time. In fact, there's never been a time like it in what I did. You could say I was depressed. But I was at home, and of all things, I was sitting there watching soap operas. And my wife would come home, and we would argue, and it was devastating. I've said before, I was low as an earthworm's belly button at that time. Everything seemed at a total end and loss. And one day, one of the Amway distributors in my line gave me a call and said, "Would you like to go to church with us? We've heard about this church that sounds very interesting, and of course it's good for business." And we went with them. And it was life-changing. It was a very exciting church. There was a man there who was speaking in a revival that was going to begin that evening. My wife and I went to the revival that evening. That revival lasted for 2 weeks, and we went every evening for 2 weeks. And it was an amazing transformation in our lives. I wholly gave my life to Yeshua. My wife did as well. And it began a new journey for us that, again, totally transformed us. I remember we didn't have the money to pay our rent. And my wife had hidden some money somewhere in the house, and we couldn't find it. But at church one evening, I thought, I don't have enough money to pay the rent. I'm just going to give what I have to the church, and we'll trust God. And one day, my wife came home from work and decided she was going to clean out the closet, which is a strange thing to do on your time off for lunch. And wow, there was the money. So it paid our rent. And that was just the beginning of a transformed life for my wife and I. I got a job as a laboratory technician at a hospital and went back to college, which I shouldn't have done because I disobeyed the Father in doing that. But it began a new journey, a new walk in our lives with Yeshua. And again, it was transforming for us. I've never been the same since then. But that transformation began with a time of deep disappointment. That's the point I want to make. Now, let's go forward 23 years and what happened then. We had built a home for women and children. I had been on the radio in the Dallas area for at least 10 years. But I had decided that I was going to stop the radio program, which had actually been a source of income for us for this entire period. At that time, we had our first resident to come in. It was a woman with 5 children. And she stayed there for a month or so and then decided to leave. At that time, I was writing the manuscript for the book Coverings, concerning head coverings. And I was at the place of writing about the Nazarite vow, and you can understand the significance of that subject. But I didn't know anything about it at all at that time. But it distressed me that we didn't have women coming to the home, but I was actually troubled by it. There was a couple who was fellowshipping with us at that time, and she told me, "Gary, don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it." She said, more importantly, what you're writing about the head covering and about coverings is more important right now. And it really helped me to set my anxiousness aside and focus on writing the conclusion of coverings. And so here again, I was at a very vulnerable place, having stopped the radio program and waiting on the Father at this time concerning the continuation of the ministry to women and children. Well, it was at this time, on June 19, 1994, which happened to be Father's Day, that the Spirit came upon me for a week and a half, and it totally, once again, transformed my life. So at the end of 23 years, in each one of these cases, a transforming experience came into my life, and I was never the same afterwards in both of those instances. Today, now in June 2017, this would mark the third 23-year period in my life for 69 years total. And here again, I am quite vulnerable. We just went through March, April, May, and you know all about that, how revealing and certainly evidencing that this period was concerning the kingdom of heaven. March was pleasant, but April, the breach period, oh boy, was it hell? And then May has been absolutely wonderful concerning the ministry, particularly through Caleb, but also through Jacob and through Walter and Abdi and others. But here I am once again, very, very vulnerable. Now, I want to share something with you, and I hope you can stand with me in this time. I have had many disappointments in my life, to the extent in which Kyle Nixon once said I was the king of disappointment. I've had many victories. I've had many wonderful insights into what is the kingdom of heaven. But with all of this, there have been many disappointments. And the one that we went through just recently with May 31, it is disappointing. But as disappointing as it is, 2017 is not over. And it was in June of 1994 that the Spirit came upon me. And so there is still hope. That scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick? Well, it certainly does. And desire fulfilled is the tree of life. And that's exactly what we need right now, the tree of life bride work. Now, I've said all of this to say something to you. What happens to Gary Naylor is irrelevant to me. I have my Social Security right now, and I'm provided for. Any money that comes in to Rent a Bride right now, and for the last several years, goes into Rent a Bride. And these brothers are out teaching right now. And for you who have been a part of Rent a Bride and have been supporting, I ask you to maintain your support. Certainly through June. I do not want the brothers in Africa to suffer at this point because of maybe disappointment concerning May 31. There is still hope. But I don't want that disappointment to cause the brothers in Africa, who are so extremely faithful, to suffer in any regard. They still have needs while they're out teaching. Caleb Oh, boy. The experiences, the outcomes of his teaching are amazing. I've talked in the past about the thousands of people. We're talking about 9,000 people. One of the recent times that I talked with him, he was meeting with 150 pastors and bishops who were making a declaration that they were no longer Christians, but were bride. And they're out teaching in Namibia, and they need our support and our help right now. I just sent them $500 to perform maintenance on the vehicle, and they are being very faithful in where they are. And I ask you, if you would please stand with us in this time and show your faithfulness and your help. It is needed. But I also feel the vulnerability that I felt in 1971 and the vulnerability that I felt in 1994. I feel that same vulnerability right now, not for myself, but for the brothers in Africa who have been so faithful for the last year and a half. And so I ask you, if you have been giving in the past, please maintain that giving so that their needs can be met as we enter into this June period. Again, June marks the 23rd year period in my own life, and I pray that we see something happen. I will use the podcasts or emails to let you know what's taking place. But I ask you to show your faithfulness and show your support into the month of June, and let's see what the Father might do. I'm reminded at this point of what took place in May of 1971. Whenever I was writing letters to the supporters of Sunshine House Ministries, and I sent out a monthly newsletter at the end of the month, and I went outside to write the newsletter, and nothing was there. And so I began writing, and I said this very simply, by God or not at all? And then I closed it. Honestly, that's where we are anyway. What we're hoping for is by God or not at all. It won't take place. We have a lot of cause to continue looking to Him, and that we will do at this time. But it comes down to the Father doing something by His Spirit, or it will not take place. And frankly, my third 23-year period is critical in my life. So I ask you to be faithful in June in your giving, and let's see what happens this month. Now, there's a second thing that I wanted to discuss in this podcast, and it has to do with timing. I am a very open and honest person. I don't try to manipulate people. I don't try to manipulate facts. I'm a realist. And I'm very honest about what the hopes are, but I also let you know that there are things that don't fit as well. You will recall that as we approached this time and looked at May 31 and the incredible coincidence of there being a Tabernacles Pentecost, a double portion Hezekiah, delayed Passover, and then the Jewish Pentecost, all on May 31. That was undeniably significant for all three of those to come together. Now, what Yahweh was doing, it's yet to be seen. But I did tell you there was another factor that concerned me. And that is the covenant with the Manny only allowed a 2-year ministry period. The first remnant used up a year and a half of the covenant with the Manny in Daniel chapter 9. That was in the middle of a 7-year period. Yeshua walked out 3.5 years in that covenant, but in the former portion, there were 3.5 years that were left unfulfilled. The first remnant walked out 1.5 years of that, and then they had to leave Jerusalem, which, boy, you want to talk about the king of disappointment? Can you imagine how bitter that must have been? I mean, they even lost the apostles. They did not have the apostles with them anymore. They were not holding all things in common anymore. You want to talk about the first kings of disappointment? That must have been terribly disappointing for them. Here they were expecting the return of Emmanuel, and they had to leave? You want to talk about the original kings of disappointment? You think about how they felt. That must have been extremely disappointing. And then the apostles remained there, and it was over for them, basically. Now, they went out and taught, but people didn't come to them like they had before. They were dispersed as well. You want to talk about disappointment? And look at them with reality of what that must have meant. And then Peter was, if you would, second rate to Paul now. It must have been a very difficult time for all of them. So when we come to June, if there's a breach, let me tell you, that first remnant ended with immense disappointment. So for me to be experiencing and for us to be experiencing disappointment right now, hey, that's where they left off. Why should we be any different? We have great hope, and I'm sure they did too, but can you imagine how that hope was dashed when they all, every one of them, had to leave Jerusalem and were dispersed abroad. And the apostles were no longer with them. Bitter, bitter experience. They left everything, everything. Their homes, their land, everything. They were the original kings of disappointment. So for me to come along and have this disappointment, and for you to share in that disappointment as well, it's a perfect match. So getting back to this point, I had said that there's one thing that doesn't fit, if you would, and that is for a 2-year ministry period to occur, that would mean that the latter rain had to be in the fall. Well, we're not anywhere near the fall. And I say fall because that would be the Feast Tabernacles. We would ascend alive at Tabernacles in that tabernacle period. And so for it to be a 2-year ministry period, the Spirit needs to be outpoured at the same feast time. So let's draw from some other things that have been spoken concerning the bride, and let's see what could happen and what could be required in order for it to be a 2-year ministry period. I have pointed out that there is a testimony, if you would, it's the, excuse my expression here, but it's the ace in the hole that you hold and can be played in order to get the victory. Now, when I say the ace in the hole, what I mean is that this is not in line with other feast matters. What I mean by that is that you don't get a latter rain at Tabernacles. You don't see that in the scriptures. That's why we were so hopeful with this Tabernacles Pentecost, that it should have afforded the latter rain. But here's the ace in the hole. Peter was called to go to the house of Cornelius. And as he was speaking with them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. If you would, they had an experience like the former rain. And I say that because of what Peter said later in the next chapter. When explaining this unusual event, because the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were Gentiles, even a Roman soldier. Boy, you talk about mercy at that point. When Peter later explained what took place, we read in Acts 11, verse 15, Peter explained, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." The Holy Spirit fell upon them as at the beginning. Isn't that what we need today? We need the Holy Spirit to fall upon us as at the beginning. So we ask, what was the timing of this event? We don't know. There is nothing in the account that tells us when it was. So my point is, this testimony evidences that the latter rain, in which we receive that which came upon them at the beginning, we could receive this latter rain at any given time, according to the will of the Father. Now, logistically, if you have a 2-year ministry period, because there's only 2 years left in the covenant with the many, that would mean it would have to be from the Feast of Tabernacles to the Feast of Tabernacles. So the latter rain wouldn't come until that time period, and we haven't even calculated, according to our calendar, when that's going to be. But there is one more testimony we could look at here, and that is the meaning of the name Cornelius. We find that it means horn, of a horn, or horn bearer. And it's quite obvious that that is most fitting for this particular feast, because on the first day of the month of this Feast of Tabernacles, we do have trumpets. And then on the 10th day, we see atonement, which is also the day in which at Jubilee, a horn, a trumpet, is blown. So in the very name of Cornelius, we see this testimony of Tabernacles, this fall feast. So my point is, we have to wait. We wait upon Yahweh to see what he's going to do. But for me, I can't imagine that long a wait. You know, it has to take place if that's what the Father's going to do. But here's what I have the greatest concern about. And I'm going to be honest with you. Carrying the weight of responsibility for the brothers in Africa is very demanding on my life. I take it very serious, and it's very heavy to carry. You can understand that when you look at what we've gone through. I am not a man of great personal ability to finance. And so I rely upon you, the givers, to provide for the brothers in Africa. And it weighs upon me very heavily. And I don't know what's going to happen next. I am completely amazed at what Yahweh's done for a year and a half. You don't know how many times a need comes up and provision is made. And it's very encouraging to me. But let me tell you, it's a very difficult life to live. Because here, these brothers are going out and teaching and having incredible success. And they're very encouraged by it. And it is most encouraging. But I know there's a great degree of vulnerability as well. And it concerns me. Will we be able to maintain the support they need for, let's say, for 4 months? Oh, I even told Caleb recently, brother, I don't know what's going to happen next. You need to be prepared to be willing to sell the car and live from those finances if money doesn't come in. You say, I can't believe you would say that. I've told you, I'm a realist, and I don't mind looking at the facts as they are, because if God does do something, you know he did it. And I would say he has worked for a year and a half in providing for them in Africa. It's an incredible thing. It's something that that honestly I wouldn't want to go through again. Because it's nip and tuck. So I'm asking you, for their sake, and hopefully for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, that you continue the support for their work. Because they're experiencing tremendous success. Caleb's rent's paid for 6 months. Walter's rent is $400 a month. And if the money doesn't come in, then it's a great responsibility and burden that I carry, and I hate to disappoint those brothers. So if you can make a commitment that you would continue their support for the months leading up to the Fall Feast of Tabernacles, I hope you do. They are worthy of our support. They have laid down everything. It has cost them a great, great deal. It is painful for me to bear this weight, but I can tell you it would be even more painful to not uphold them and support them during this period. And I will provide an update concerning Caleb. He informed me recently that they did find out who killed Brother Derek. He was, in their words, he was a drunkard. But the police are now going even further in the investigation, because obviously that man would have been paid by someone else to kill Brother Derek. But at least we've got some progress on the murder of Brother Derek, and they do have in jail, from what I understand, the man who killed him. So I will give you further updates on this as well. I am concerned about not only Caleb's well-being financially, but also the vulnerability that he has, evidenced by the attacks on Belinda, his wife, and Yangi, in that they were attacked with machetes, and Belinda was run over by a motorbike, and all of the possessions in their home were stolen. They do have someone living in the duplex where I used to stay to provide protection for Belinda and Yangi. But I ask of you to continue to provide support financially for their sake and because of the faithfulness of these brothers in Africa. They are extraordinarily faithful. I personally cannot provide the finances. And I ask you, who can, that you would remain faithful to these dear brothers and that we could meet their needs as they go out and teach. That weighs upon me a great deal, and I hope that you can help. I look to the Father at this point. You say, well, trust in God. It's His work. I do. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't trust in God. But I'm also a man of reality. And reality is sometimes very haunting. I do look to the Father to complete what He began. And I hope that you can be a part of that provision. I don't want to disappoint them. And I don't want to disappoint the others in Africa who are responding so favorably right now. So I ask for your help and your support at this time. That brother called me the king of disappointment. Recently I've thought about Elijah. You talk about a man of disappointment. He just wanted to die. When Jezebel got after him, he fled, went out in the wilderness, just wanted to die. So just before he went up Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, he too was a king of disappointment. He had great victory, but he just wanted to die. I can't tell you what tomorrow holds. I can't tell you how I will hold up. I have joked in the past, I have one gift. It's the gift of endurance. And unfortunately, God allows me to use my gift. So for now, we wait to see what the Father's going to do. I can't tell you. According to the testimony of being hidden in the cleft of a rock and then God removing His hand and us seeing His back, that means that you're following Him and you see it after it's happened. So I know for me, this year is critical. It is absolutely critical. It is the third 23 in my life, as Tommy noted in his prayers. And I hope you'll stand with me in this time. I hope you will. For the kingdom's sake and for the sake of the brothers in Africa, I hope you'll stand with me. And I look to the Father to make provision. There are far too many things in my life that testify that the Father is working in it and through it. And it is times like this that we just have to lean upon Him. But for right now, we are entering into the month of June. And this is the month where all of this began. This is the month that brought the revelation of everything that you're hearing now concerning the bride. The outcome 23 years ago was that what occurred then in June breached. I pray that as we enter into June 23 years later, that Yahweh God will complete what He began in 1994. We look to Him, and may He be praised. In the name of Yeshua, Amen.